Before we introduce my friend Will Brinson, where does this come from?
Well, I know, it's because Will's here.
Little live Steely Dan?
Yes, and I know you love it too. I try to please.
Very nice. Very nice. A little, it does sound like, almost sound like a cover at one point, but right now Donald Fagan sounds like a cover.
Yeah.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six Podcast, super friend, joins me. As always, here on the Adam Gold Show. Good choice if you selected Do It Again live. I mean, Steely Dan, really more?
No, I didn't pick. That was all Victoria. I was, as a passionate fan of the band Phish, someone willing to even stand through a torrential downpour, hypothetically, and maybe a lightning storm, I would.
Wow.
To watch the band, I would just say that would have been a fine choice too. But you can never go wrong with Steely Dan. I actually was thrown a little bit by the live version though.
Don't see a lot of live Steely. There is a live album, but I'm not necessarily a fan of it. All right, let me get to something I led into this segment with in our last one, the notion that maybe the clock is ticking on Bill Belichick. I think we play revisionist history with the end of the Tom Brady era, because we fell in love with Brady's year one in Tampa with a loaded roster. As I said before, he was handed a deck full of aces the way that team was put together. And a lot of it was the attraction of playing with Brady. So a lot of players played for, you know, below what their market value might have been, because they knew that there would be an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. It didn't go well after that. Right, it wasn't like they were great after that, and I don't think he was great all that year either. But now we're looking at Bill Belichick and say, "Man, they won a Super Bowl. What have you done?" It's been a while. Where are the Patriots right now in their rebuild?
I mean, I think that they're probably trying to figure out what. I think they're like a rebooting dynasty, right? And it's like, if you're, it's a really hard act to follow. Six Super Bowls in a 20-year span, like, two years where you don't win the division title, right?
Right.
And you have the greatest quarterback of all time and the greatest coach of all time. Like, he's still the greatest coach of all time.
I agree.
I think there's a reasonable, if you want to say Patrick Mahomes can catch Brady, then that's fine. But then that means you probably think Andy Reid can catch Belichick too, which is crazy to think about, but not totally out of the question. There's just been an increasing amount of pressure, just sort of the way that it's been spoken about. Like, you hear Bob Kraft talking in owners' meetings, and I mean, I don't think Belichick's on the hot seat. Like, he wants Belichick to catch Shula on the all-time wins list.
Sure.
He wants Belichick to wait, to go out as a winner in New England. Like, you don't want it to end poorly, but, last year they hired Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator.
Right. And Joe Judge.
And Joe Judge.
Right.
It's one of the most inexplicable coaching maneuvers, whatever you want to call it, that you'll ever see. Look, he also let Tom Brady walk, really pushed him out the door.
Right.
Brady would have stayed in New England. Belichick, Belichick had been thinking about rebooting for a while at quarterback. You know, that's why he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. He just believed in the law of physics, in reality, that Brady wasn't going to play forever. Little did we know he's superhuman. And I think that probably has an impact on this too, because Bob Kraft loves Tom Brady so much that he probably holds a little bit of a grudge there with Belichick. And then if you keep not winning, the NFL is a very much what have you done for me lately league. But it seems unfathomable that Bill Belichick would push out at him. But
right,
I mean, if he keeps losing and keeps hiring Matt Patricia, who knows?
Well, look, yeah, you can't make bad decisions. I don't know that they've drafted really well. Right, they've made poor decisions in free agency. I think these are the problems that is really plaguing this. And I would argue this. We saw the end of Brady in New England, and it was ugly, not because of Brady, but he was unable to help what they had be even competent offensively. Their offense at the end of that season was atrocious. And their offensive personnel the following season was equally as bad, maybe worse. So, I mean, there's no way that Brady at that stage of his career was going to elevate, you know, second tier at best talent into being a really good team. So, look, I don't blame Belichick for letting Brady walk. I don't blame anybody in that situation.
Brady's final year, the top four receivers by yardage were a 33-year-old Julian Edelman, who wouldn't be around long, a 27-year-old James White, who's a running back,
right?
Philip Dorsett, who is a former first-round pick, but has bounced around the league, and Jacoby Myers, who is beloved around here, but like where, you know, given his and a great draft pick, and I'm glad he got paid, but like given his pedigree, like, and just given where he was drafted, like you wouldn't have expected like him to be the Patriots' number one wide receiver that, you know, that quickly. Like, that's problematic for them.
Is Mac Jones in New England going to be good enough to elevate what they've got? Now, they did better. They actually went a little bit more sizzle in free agency this year, and they added to the offensive personnel. Is that enough, what they have done? And the Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Is that enough to do, to take them to a level? I mean, it's a difficult division. I think Miami's really good. We know Buffalo's really good. Right, and we don't know. I mean, the Jets are set up to at least be interesting and competitive.
The Patriots are like 8-1 to win the division. That is wild if you think about it. Belichick coach team is like getting creeping up towards 10-1 to win their own division. I mean, I think you can. I always try to do in the offseason with every team, like take a look at them and be like, and like squint really hard and try and figure out what's like, what's the best case. And then also like sort of look at it and say, what's the worst case? And there's definitely a downside, a huge downside for the Patriots here. Like things could just go south. But if like Bill O'Brien's an improvement, I mean, he's going to be an improvement over Matt Patricia. Like he's just going to be. It's like, you know, it's just hard to fathom just how bad Matt Patricia that hire was. Basically, when Andy Reid hired Juan Castillo at the end of his run in Philly, his offensive line coach would be his DC, which, again, makes no sense. The weapons are there, I think, to fashion enough of an offense. If Ramondre Stevenson's healthy, if he's the bell cow, like Cole Strange, or the Chattanooga first-round pick that from a couple years ago, this offensive line has to come together. The power run game has to be there. And they need Juju and to sort of eat up underneath, and then Devontae Parker to take the top off. Right. Like the best-case scenario, I think, is like a top half of the league offense, efficiency-wise, maybe not volume-wise. And then defensively, like you just have to trust Bill Belichick is going to – you know, the defense looks like it could be better. It looks like it could improve. And so, like, this is a team that's going to be frisky. They're going to be a pain. They're going to be, sure. I don't know if frisky is the word. Maybe it's like they're not going to just go away quietly. And so I think there's a chance Belichick wins 10 games this year and everybody's sort of off his back. But, I mean.
I guess there's a chance. The division is very, very competitive.
Oh, yeah.
And the conference is as well. Let me ask you about the Jets, because I heard somebody, I might have been Jeff Darlington on ESPN, I have no idea, say that he thinks the Jets have a greater chance to miss the playoffs than make the playoffs. Oh. I mean, I kind of floated that right after the Aaron Rodgers thing, and maybe that's over the top. It probably is over the top with half the league, basically half the conference making the playoffs, 7 out of 16 teams in the conference will make the playoffs. But I don't think the Jets were just a quarterback away. I don't think had you plugged in competency at quarterback over Zach Wilson and Mike White, there was a reason they lost 7 in a row to end the year.
Right.
So
7 in a row.
Right. Like, they weren't good. So I think the jury is still out on Robert Saleh. As much as I like Robert Saleh as a coach or as a guy, I think the jury is still out on whether or not he's a good enough head coach to win. But what are your thoughts on, I know Aaron Rodgers is there, but are they definitely a playoff team or is it still up in the air?
I think it's very much up in the air. I mean, I'm with you. I said that really when the Rodgers trade went down, I was like, of course, like this could be a playoff team. But you know, when you say, oh, they're a quarterback away, that means everything clicked for you, but the quarterback position. And I know Breece Hall went down with an ACL injury, but the assumption is just that he's going to come back and be fine. You know, there could be a little bit of time. I'm trying to, I don't actually see it on Caesars right now, but because they had to miss playoffs. I mean, I'm sure that I think the last time I saw it, the Jets were like -150 to make the playoffs. So they are inherently, or I mean, I guess, you know, just by the nature of what Vegas is assigning to it,
right,
they are more likely to make the playoffs than miss the playoffs. But I think that Jeff's point was probably, I didn't see the hit, but I would assume that his point was more like everyone's penciling in the Jets to make the playoffs. and they have to deal with the Patriots team we just talked about, which they do have a possible upside, right? They have to deal with the Miami Dolphins, where if Tua plays the whole season, they're going to be a really good team if that offensive line is good as well. And then the Bills, who everyone's trying to write off in a weird way, but, you know, are clearly going to have a chip on their shoulder based on this offseason, still have Josh Allen. Like, that is a really hard schedule. And then you factor in the rest of the AFC, where you've got the Chiefs, the Broncos, who I think are a possible bounce back team, and the Chargers in the West. Like, I mean, both divisions can't get three teams in. There's a very good chance that a terrible team from the NFC gets in the playoffs, and a really good team from the AFC is left out to get home, and we have that whole should we reseed conversation, and then we move on once the playoffs start.
Isn't there a chance that a terrible team from the AFC also gets into the playoffs? Well, I mean, Jacksonville will probably be significantly better than terrible.
I think Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is 15-1 to win the MVP, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know you are. You're buying. You're all about
for sunshine.
I don't know, man. I see a lot of good, but I see a lot of average. One thing I will say is that he's got, I think, outstanding coaching in Doug Peterson. To me, the biggest advantage that he has, and why.
Not Urban Meyer, numb.
Not Urban Meyer, but also not whatever they've got in with the Los Angeles Chargers. Because Trevor Lawrence is going to pass Justin Herbert on the really handsome 6'6" blonde flowing locks quarterback list. But I'm not sure either.
Probably in large part to coaching. I mean, Kellen Moore could come in there and you saw, I mean, with Joe Lombardi, like, they threw underneath all season long, the Chargers did. And Kellen Moore comes in, and Dak, they'll attack vertically. So, like, that should benefit them. But I don't know if that team is going to, like, I'm just saying that a 9 or 10 win team is probably going to miss the playoffs in the AFC, would be my guess.
Sure. All right. So we'll close on this, Will Brinson. Give me your order of finish in the AFC East.
I've been pounding the table that the Bills are being written off like the Chiefs were last year for some silly, because the Dolphins are like the hot team and the Jets get Rodgers. So I'll say the Bills 1, the Dolphins 2, Jets 3, Patriots 4.
I think that's probably.
And if I'm feeling really frisky come prediction time for CBSSports.com, I'll put the Patriots ahead of the Jets and just get just so much vitriol from Jets fans.
And that's fine, because as Victoria will attest to, I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers is enough tomato juice to mask the stench of the Jets.
I thought you were going for a Bloody Mary.
No.
Bloody Mary analogy there.
You're ayahuasca. The skunk analogy. It's just ayahuasca. But yeah, I'm not sure. At this stage of his career, as good as he is, still, I'm not sure that's enough. But we will find out. Are you excited for Hard Knocks?
Yeah, especially because Rodgers is mad that he's on Hard Knocks. He's like furious they put him on Hard Knocks, which makes me like kind of love the fact that he's on Hard Knocks.
I'm still not sure I'll watch, but I'll certainly read the stories about it. Will Brinson, I appreciate your time, my man.
Anytime, buddy.
Talk to you very soon. That's Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six Podcast, super friend.